DIMP Digital presents Idle Game Chat.
Cool!
Here we are then, back with another episode of Idle Game Chat, courtesy of DIMP Digital. Got some more game impressions coming right your way after this quick interstitial, this intro, if you will. We've got God of War Ragnarok Valhalla. Bit of a mouthful. I think it was just called Valhalla. Anyway, this was the free DLC that Sony Santa Monica put out at the tail end of 2023. A roguelite, can never remember the difference between those two different terms, but one of those type games that I went through. I said it's free, so I just downloaded it and played through it. And an interesting chat, nonetheless. It's definitely got a bit more story to it than what you might expect, and I'm not going to say essential for fans, because nothing's really essential. You can look anything up you like on YouTube, but I will say the lore stuff they have in here, especially for long-time fans, and I'm kind of preluding to what I'm going to say in the conversation anyway, especially for long-time fans, is something you're going to want to experience. So I'd say if you're interested in this, just give it a go. It's not that difficult. It's not one of those really hard ones. It's got difficulty levels, which means you can just tailor it down if you're struggling a little bit. And like I said, they've done a really nice job with the narrative pieces, so one more whirl for Kratos and his Leviathan axe and the Blades of Chaos. And I do wonder what they're going to do with that franchise next. If anything, you'd think there's got to be another game coming at some point, but all wild speculation at this point. This will hopefully be the last time I have to do one of these intros. Going forward, the recordings will all have the intro seamlessly linked in, because you will have noticed, obviously, in the last few weeks, we've stepped away from doing industry waffle, as I call it, talking about the news and stuff, because I find boring. And it's just been the game impressions that we'd already kind of pre-recorded with in mind, thinking that, oh, we'll have the industry discussion to lead into it, like we used to do. But that obviously has changed. The episodes have shortened a little bit. But after this particular one, this is the last one that was kind of in the bank, if you will. And so going forward, it should just be a seamless process of, hello, oh, well, I'm here with X, Y, and Z, and we're going to talk about this, and that's going to be the episode, and it'll all be self-contained, as it probably was back in the day. So no real changes from that perspective, not planning to introduce industry news. I do want to do something with the Fantasy Gaming League, and I'm trying to think how best to do that for you guys. So keep tuned there, and I'll definitely get some updates out, whether it's monthly or quarterly, or I don't know. We'll have a look. I'll think about that. But yeah, going forward, anything that you appear will not only be timely. That's sometimes something that you will notice in these recordings, is that I have three different haircuts on one episode, and three different beard styles, and you must think, well, that's for the visual people, and you must think, well, how long apart will they take? And the answer is months sometimes. It's absolutely months. Like this, let's just expose the business now, shall we? What have we got here? God of War Valhalla. This was recorded in February. So not too bad. Start of February, so a couple of months almost. But yeah, that's kind of what we're dealing with. Going forward, that won't necessarily be the case. Might be by a few weeks, but I doubt we're going to get to the stage where we've got like 8 conversations recorded, because the pace in which people are finishing things has slowed down. I'm still playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and I've had it since launch. And yeah, that's kind of where we're at. So expect stuff to be trickling out. That does mean that the weekly cadence will probably stop. Like as I sit here and record this and post this, there's nothing there for next week, and the week after that's a bank holiday, so you definitely won't get anything. What's the bank holiday this time? It is the 6th of May. You won't get an episode as per the usual. Is it the 6th? Is that when May Day is? I can't remember when we do it. I think that's when it is anyway. Yeah, 6th. You won't get an episode then anyway, so you might not get something next week or the week after. But that's the cadence we've had to reduce it to. I do think the conversations will hopefully be, well, they can get much better. We were already top draw, so they will be just as good as they always have been. Anyway, I'm waffling, making this what should have been a very short episode slightly longer than it need to be. So just keep subscribed to the channel, to the feed, and stuff will pop in there. It's still going every Monday. Not so. It will going on a Monday should there be an episode available, but the weekly cadence is unlikely to continue, is what I'd say. Doesn't mean I won't get something done this week for next week, but just be aware that's not a... It was a be-all or end-all. Had to be something every week. I think just letting that go is better for everyone. Mostly me, because I have to do all the work. Anyway, as I say, God of War Ragnarok Valhalla DLC coming your way. And as usual, might be the last time I say this. We'll see you on the other side.
Hello there, Adkins from Dimp Digital. This is my review for Cocoon. Cocoon I played on my Xbox via Game Pass. Managed to platinum this game. Well, 100% as these Xbox pods do. I enjoyed this game. It was about 5 or 6 hours I think I put into it. That was going through the story. Or story on puzzles, struggling towards the end because it naff get difficult and my brain ain't capable of half of this. So it was a couple of times I got stuck and did have to cheat and have a look. My brain did struggle a little bit, but for the most part, I managed to get through unaided. And that's definitely the strongest part of this game is its puzzles. Some really interesting stuff it does. You're a little moth going around these weird, crazy worlds, and you carry these worlds in the form of like orbs. And then once they start interconnecting, it progressively gets harder and harder. And certainly towards the latter stages of the game, I did start to struggle. But yeah, it's a beautiful looking game. Has some real interesting, innovative puzzles that I've never come across before, some very tricky ones as well, the graphics of this game are incredible. It's a very stylized looking game, very good, ran perfectly smooth as well, looks glorious in 4K I assume on that console running at a nice 60. The only thing I didn't really get, which you don't tend to get in these games, was like the story. It was a bit, it's the sort of game you want to play after dropping a load of shrooms and sit there and trip out, to be honest, because it's a bit of a trip, this game. There is a story, but it's certainly not a narrative, heavy game. It's very loose, and that's not really what this game's about. The star of the show is the puzzles itself. I enjoyed my time with it. Nice and short, nice and simple, challenging and glorious to look at. So I'll give this a silver. Very good. One of those games is definitely worth playing, but for me, it's not one of those go out and must play like the Ikes of Inside or Limbo or something like that. But no, good. A very strong silver for me. Cocoon.
Here we are then, back with some game impressions to close out this edition of Idle Game Chat. You've got Apps and Logan here. I am going to speak about God of War Ragnarok Valhalla. Free DLC being churned out by Sony of all people. Usually this is a £10 upgrade. But late in 2023, Sony Santa Monica released this little, what they're touting as an epilogue of sorts to God of War Ragnarok, which is already a huge game. But I spent some time to play through this. As I said, it was free, so no monetary blowers need to be done. But I'm interested in what questions you come up with, because this is something that, considering you enjoyed Valhalla, because you enjoyed Ragnarok so much, yeah. There you go, there's that Creed getting involved. And that this has been touted as sort of an epilogue, whether this is, you must be sitting there thinking, what's happening here? Do I need to be playing this? And I guess I can sort of answer those questions for you at some point. But yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. Over a year since the game came out, and they drop a little free DLC.
Keeps people intrigued, doesn't it? I mean, look, I left the game with bits to do. You had a good old clear down once you finished the main story. But I felt like I was kind of just done with it when I was. And I was like, if I'm doing this, it's just going to sour the experience for me. But you obviously had a good old clear down, and then this comes along. How long is it? Is it like, in terms of time investment, are we talking?
It's a good idea. And without the cop-out answer, it depends how snarled up you get. All right. So first of all, we'll say this is a separate menu item. So it's not like and I'll tell you what, that disappointed me a little bit, because I expected to go into the main game with Kratos and be like, right. And then it'd be like, oh, there's a message here. And then you'd sort of travel. But no, you pick this out of the menu. Now, the advantage of that is that when you start that process, it's got, I think, four difficulty options: normal, easy, hard, and then a very hard. I think there's even one after that you can unlock. But I guess at that point, you can make it easier on yourself by just choosing what's appropriate at that stage. But for me, it took me about 5 to 6 hours in that sort of ballpark. So it's not a bloater, but I did get through relatively easy, I would say. I didn't die a ton of times. And that's really what's going to cost you, is dying, because it's one of these rogue light sort of efforts. You'll be going back to the beginning of the run and need to redo it. So that can sting. But you will go back into the next run stronger, as per the usual sort of parameters of a roguelike game. But yeah, 5 to 6 hours, I'd say. But if you put it on easy, you'll barely die and probably shave an hour or two off that, maybe. Alternatively, if you put it on higher difficulty and struggle, it'll increase its length for you.
Yeah. So I don't know how much you can and will say about how this fits in as an epilogue.
I'll give it all away, shall I?
Well, I don't care if you did, but the fans might not, and I know how you feel about spoilers, but is there anything you can talk to about why should people pick this up post-game? Obviously, it's free, but...
Yeah.
Does it fill some story gaps? Does it...
Let me read this.
Go on, then.
Master thyself. I'm going to skip that bit. Accompanied only by Mimir, Kratos embarks on a deeply personal and reflective journey that pushes him to master mind and body as he is confronted with the challenges of Valhalla. An unwavering, replayable adventure that blends the beloved combat of God of War Ragnarok with brand new elements inspired by the roguelite genre. Kratos' journey continues. In this epilogue to God of War Ragnarok, Kratos enters Valhalla, a new location to the God of War Norse saga. Faced with the echoes of his past, he fights to overcome the trials within himself and walk the path laid out before him. So, in terms of... It's Kratos reflecting on older times, basically. And using Valhalla as like a way of kind of going through that process. And what I would say to people, if you're a fan of the like original God of War, so God of War 1 through 3, OG ones, I think Chains of Olympus was like whatever ones they did a spin-off or maybe two, then this will be right up your alley, because it will kind of give you some insight into that part of his life as well, and there'll be stuff in there that you'll be like, oh, that's really cool for like old school fans. For the newer fans, there's still something there, because we've kind of been I guess exposed to his history, you know, a little bit, but never really got the full kind of story. You don't get the full story here, but you kind of understand a bit more about Kratos' feelings towards that, whether it's regret, whether it's things that he feels like he could have done differently, whether he wants to go back and kind of change the past. You'll get to understand kind of where he's at, and he's going through a process of kind of dealing with all that at this stage. So it is truly an epilogue for kind of, I guess, Kratos, really, in that he's got all this baggage that's been building up over decades of just war and death and horrible stuff, and it's like it's all coming to a head. So he goes through Valhalla, which is this continuously this area where you work through combat, and you die, you go back to the beginning, you get a bit further, you die, you go back to the beginning, you get further and further. And it's kind of like he's trying to use Valhalla to get some clarity in his thoughts and deal with all the bollocks that's happened in the last however many years it's been. So from that perspective, it's almost essential for people that are longtime fans to experience this. I really think there's a lot to be gotten out of it. And for the newer fans, you know, I'm not going to say it offers any level of like closure necessarily, but it's interesting. It's certainly interesting what they're doing there. It's just that the thing that will cost people is that it is wrapped up in this roguelite kind of system, which, look, I'm not the biggest fan of these, but I have played them enough where I can get through them. So despite me really enjoying the narrative slice that it offers, and I think that longtime fans are going to be very happy with this, if you're not used to these types of games where you just can't stand the thought of replaying and working your way through something, this might get up your nose too much. So it's not a slam dunk. I mean, I would have just preferred if they'd done a DLC story pack that was just quite normal like the rest of the game, but they've tried something a little bit different here, and for better or for worse, people are going to enjoy it or not. And I think a lot of it will depend on your tolerance for a roguelike game, but it's not so stupidly difficult that it's impossible that you're going to be put off by it. Like, I do think it's quite lenient. Like I said, I think I died twice during the whole thing. One of those was like a forced death, it felt like, to show me that you can die. So actually, if you look back at that, I've actually done pretty well and got through it. And I was by no means, I mean, at one point I got really good at this game, but it's been over a year since I played it, so I was rusty as shit, and poor old Kratos got the shit kicked out of him for an hour or two. Once it got me iron, though, I was kind of back at it. And yeah, that's a waffle for that initial question for you to deal with.
Yeah, there's a lot to pick out from that. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? So I guess the idea is that as you get through it, and as you get through the rooms in Valhalla, that you get progressively more powerful and you find out more about yourself and things like that, I suppose, essentially. And I assume as he gets through it, you find more out about himself. I mean, look, anything that's got Mimir on it, in my view, gets signed off anyway. It's worth it just for Mimir and to hear his little snippets.
Yeah. There's a funny bit in this. I don't know if many people picked up on this, but Mimir is obviously waffling like he does. And I don't know if you... You probably didn't get exposed to any of this, but when Ragnarok came out, a lot of people got annoyed that he would pipe up and be like, "Oh, look over there, Kratos!" Like, and he'd like give away the hint of the puzzle that's going on. It was too quick; people didn't like it. And there's a really funny quip he makes. I can't remember the exact kind of context of it, but he makes fun of people not appreciating like help of a puzzle. And I thought that was really, really funny. Like, obviously, they've heard the criticism and they've just kind of made fun of that.
They did a voice line for
it. I really enjoyed that. It made me chuckle because I was like, I know exactly what they're referring to, sort of like a wink and a nod. And Mimir can pull it off. So he's, again, he's back in his good value, as he always is.
But yeah, I guess, you know, that's pretty much it. I mean, you know what to expect. Like, the combat in this is brilliant. Like, it's a super fun game to play. I think from what I saw, you can essentially choose your, I call it a loadout, but you can customize it and do things in terms of how you want to go through it. So you can do that, I think.
So what it does, so you can pick at the start of each run certain elements that you can pick, certain relics to take in. You can pick your armor set as well, though I think that's all cosmetic. But when you start the run, there's a lot of stuff you pick up on the way through. So say your runic abilities for each of your weapons, like your powerful attack and there's like a light attack as well, they are kind of randomized. So you don't start with your full Kratos moveset. You kind of pick it up as you go through the run.
Right. And okay.
Say if you pick the axe as your first kind of runic weapon to start with, it's always the same. You're more likely to get more axe-related runic upgrades later on in the run. Yeah. So it kind of figures out, okay, you want to try a run with the axe, then, okay, we'll give you more stuff related to that. So there is a random element that you kind of have to think on the fly. You're not going to get all your favorite powers and your little cheat codes that you might have figured out in the base game necessarily. And you can get like currency that you can spend throughout the run that resets every time. So it's kind of in your best interest to use that stuff to buy just run only upgrades. When you exit out of a run, there's also another currency, or I think it's a couple of currencies, where you can actually do permanent upgrades. So permanent buffs to health, to luck, to all those stats that you kind of build up from scratch again. So that's how you get stronger, is each time you exit, you'll be left with a number of currency to spend on his permanent stats just to give yourself the edge next time around. And it does start to add up. You do start to feel more powerful quite quickly.
Yeah. I don't really know where to go with this one. I mean, is there anything in terms of things you didn't like with this that, like, are you glad they chose to do a little bit of a roguelite? Or
yeah, I think I'm still of the opinion that I'd rather have paid £15 for a traditional expansion and not had the free thing. But I'm creating a reality that doesn't exist. But I'm just saying that had I had my way, that's what I probably would have preferred on balance. And that's not to say that Valhalla's bad, it's just that I prefer that style. Mm. But this isn't really as egregious as it might sound to people. And I think a lot of people will be surprised at themselves once they pick it up. Now, one of the requirements is that you get up to speed with that combat again, because you would have forgotten by now. Most people will have done. It's the same thing that I've battered on about DLC coming later, is that you just fall out of sync with the game, and it makes the initial bit quite, you know, just a bit harder. So yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I think it sounds scary to people when they first hear about it. It's like, oh, if you die, you go back to the beginning. But you can really complete a run probably in half hour to 40 minutes or so. It's not, and you can actually do it quicker than that, if you just, because you can kind of go through optional doorways that will take you to optional bosses for perhaps a bigger upgrade or more currency or whatever it might be. So some runs you might just want to be getting through it. Other runs you might want to focus on just scouring the place for as many resources as possible. I think they do, in general, a good job of that, because I think they know a lot of people won't have played or cared about a roguelite before, and it's not completely hardcore. Where I think I go back to I would have preferred an expansion is that I don't think that the roguelite structure is necessary for the story that's being told. So it's more of a mechanic that's been leaned on, I think, just for convenience of the creation of this kind of this DLC, essentially, because you can reuse certain areas. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to have the same, not the same rooms every time. They do change them up, but there's still only like three or four combinations of each kind of main room. The enemies are pretty random. Like, you'll have combinations of enemies that you won't have experienced in the main game because they're in different zones. That's quite fun, seeing how you're going to manage like a troll and then something else that actually would never have appeared next to a troll. But in terms of the narrative, I think the strongest, like, Hades is the kind of gold standard of a game that's built around the roguelite nature, but the story contextually makes complete sense in that. It doesn't not make sense here. They make a big point of it being, you know, Kratos trying to master thyself, as they call it. But in reality, to reflect on this, he didn't need to go through this level of trial, I don't think. I think you could have done a different way of doing it. Like, a traditional expansion could have kind of satisfied that. So I think that's where I would be kind of nitpicking at that point, saying that, well, you've created this road-like structure, but the narrative didn't really need it. I think that's, and maybe I'm misunderstanding certain things, but I don't think it was required. Whereas I don't think Hades works at all if you take away the element of the roguelike nature just baked into everything that game does. Whereas this is not like that. It's, you know, I think you could have got a way of telling the same story using traditional methods that we've come to know and love. But would have taken longer probably. People would have expected new worlds and zones to go towards. And this is a, I guess, this is an economy way of doing it, isn't it? To offer something that's got interchangeable rooms that you repeat and go through, you become familiar with, which is kind of part of the hook of the game. You haven't got to create a whole new, you know, 10 hours worth of content. You kind of create the levels, create the mixed in enemies, and then you're away. It's a much more economical way of doing it from their perspective.
Yeah, and it's free.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is the thing, they've just done it. It's just a Brucey bonus.
I think they'd have had a hard time selling it. I think there's the fact that a lot of people haven't jumped into this head first, I think is because it's got Roguelite attached to it. I think there's some apprehension among the audience. I think charging for this would have been, I mean, it's worth money. This is not throwaway. This is still high quality. Like, it has the narrative part of it that you kind of expected. And I thought this is just going to be a fun game mode. That's what I thought. It'll be a fun game mode. But actually, the story is a proper story. So it kind of has that in there, which is on its, for me, would be worth paying for. But I think they knew they were sort of going into grounds where people aren't necessarily going to gravitate towards it. You've created this whole game around it being X, like this big sprawling adventure, and then you're asking people to access the epilogue and play a different structured game. Why? I think they realised and probably made the right choice. I mean, what they write here, a gift to the fans, as fans of their fans, and as we thank you, the God of War community, for your love and your support, Sony Santa Monica Studio is releasing God of War Ragnarok Valhalla for free. So, to avoid spoilers, it's recommended that you play through the complete story of God of War Ragnarok, but all players are welcome to begin Valhalla at any time. So going back to my point of locking it away, I think you can see why, because that means any old toad can come along and play this. But what I appreciated about the Burning Shores was, and this is Horizon Forbidden West, you had to have finished the game to access that. So all these Johnny-come-latelys and these lightweights who hadn't finished it weren't going to be able to access the DLC. This is different. You can dive straight into it from the menu. But yeah, I don't know how. I feel like people should just give it a go. And like, once you get into the swing of things, you'll realise the combat is as good as you remember. But you're going to get the shit kicked out of you early on. That's the only warning I can offer you. And obviously, if you get to like the last part of a run and die, you're going to be pretty peeved off. But that's kind of the nature of the game. They try and bake it in by saying, well, this is just how this little world works, but it's still going to annoy people, as it annoyed me when I died, because it was careless the way I died. It really annoyed me. But next run, went through it, and I absolutely just obliterated everything and thought, that's taught them a lesson that time. Don't be getting on the bad side of me and Kratos and Mimir.
Yeah, I think it's probably just something that they wanted to do with him. And I've kind of noticed that it's unusual in linear games, but there are elements within the story where you could just go into like a battle arena, in original Ragnarok. So they do stick stuff in there where it's like, doesn't really fit in with it. And it's like, oh, you can test yourself out here basically against like waves and stuff. Like, so they do and have sort of toyed with doing stuff that's a bit left field. And I just think they probably just fancy doing something a little bit different, but knew if they charged for it, they'd get crapped on. So like, well, look, it won't take us a load of time. We wanted to do it. Yeah, so
it took
do
over
it anyway.
A year, the lazy bastards.
Didn't know, did it?
Wow.
But yeah, it sounds like it's all the stuff that that we've come to love from God of War, but wrapped up in a different mode, which will upset some people and will be music to other people's ears, depending on how you feel like.
Yeah, but like I said, you can put it on easy if you want. Like, and that won't offer much resistance. If you want just the story element of this, you can turn it. I don't know how easy is. I didn't try it. I didn't need to.
Oh, showing off.
And well, whilst I was good at this game at one point, I don't think I quite got back to as brutally efficient as I was before. Like, there's no way, because I've just forgotten all the tricks of the trade that I'd use. Yeah, and I definitely wasn't efficient. I was really struggling at times to get things down. But Yeah, I think that if you put it on easy, though, you probably have a much easier time of it. And like I said, a 5 to 6 hour sort of journey, you could probably do it quicker if you steamroll it, to be honest. Like, if you really do just hound your way through it. And, you know, there's still like little side things I can go back and do, which I've, you know, I've been toying with just doing when I've got a bit of a space, just jump in there for a couple of sessions and get the last sort of side stories or whatever, or the last inch of dialogue that game has to offer, and then uninstall it and call it a day for good and wait for what else they're doing in the franchise. But yeah, a nice little bonus for people. And in terms of time spent, which is where I look to sort of analyze whether it was worth it, I think it was a perfectly good 5 or 6 hours, and in fact wouldn't have minded if it was double that. You know, if I'd struggled a bit more, I think in the moment I'd have been annoyed, but certainly I wouldn't have been annoyed when I buried that axe into some fuck's head and ripped him in half. Like, this doesn't get old, really. So I'm glad they had some restraint. Don't get me wrong, it shouldn't be 30 hours. But, you know, if it was a little bit longer as well, I don't think I'd have been too annoyed. And it will take people a little bit longer, a little bit shorter, depending on their skill. But I think it's got enough of the elements that I like to pull it over the line. I think a lot of people will be surprised once they get back into the swing of things. That's the key, is can you get over yourself and get back to a level where you're competent? Because a lot going on in that game I've forgotten about. I couldn't remember how to dodge. There's things like that going on. And then you can activate these optional labours, they call them. And one of them was, if you dodge, it poisons you for 10 seconds. So, you know, the reward of it at the end was a nice Brucey bonus. So I was like, well, is that worth doing? But then I kept dodging and poisoning myself, causing a right old pickle. There's all these little modifiers as well that you'll get, that you can opt in for. And it's, you know, you can clearly experiment of what the game can and can't do. And I think that's quite interesting to see outside of just the narrative pieces. But very good. It's more God of War, just in a different wrapper. And I think even a casual player could get through this without too much trouble and, dare I say, enjoy it potentially, because it is a lot of combat, and the combat in God of War Ragnarok is so strong that it does a lot of the heavy lifting. So there you go.
Can he disagree with that? Is there anything else you just want to give it a nod to in this review before we think about wrapping it up?
I don't think so. Yeah. I just want to don't be scared of it. If it's a rogue, this is actually one of the more approachable roguelites. So actually, if you ever thought, well, let's see what it's about in a game that I like, this is the one to do it in. And I said, the story, whilst it doesn't have to be in this roguelite wrapper, it's still quite compelling, because if you're familiar with Kratos at all, this is going to be a worthwhile kind of journey to go on. It's not super long, it's not super taxing, and once you get through it, I think most people will leave with a smile on their face thinking, yeah, that was actually pretty good. High quality, still the higher quality is still there for this franchise, this particular game. Yes, it's still up there from that perspective.
Oh God, voice didn't work then. All right. Yeah, well, you went to say something and nothing come out. What's going on here? Why is the voice box given up?
Dried up.
Let's go into the gallery then and see where this might potentially rock up. Does it go in the bin? Does it go on the wall? We will see.
Well, it's an easy going on the wall jobby. That's not a concern for the fans out there and for Kratos himself, who has had a hard life. I'll give him that. In terms of where should it go, let's have a look. So I gave the original, or the main game, a platinum.
Yeah.
Zero regrets for that. I think this sits nicely in a gold realm. Like, it is just still very high quality. I would have preferred, like I said, the traditional expansion. That's not what we got. But for what it is, it's pretty fucking good still. And it's still God of War Ragnarok at its core. So I can't really complain from that perspective. And finding out a bit more about Kratos and, you know, having Mimir back and meeting some new characters and some old ones, like, it's all good stuff. Like, they've done a top job with this, and really the only thing that I would have changed was for it to be not what it is, and I don't think that's a fair criticism. So ultimately, did I enjoy it as much as the base game? No, but I still enjoyed it probably more than I was expecting, because I was sitting there scared for a while thinking, how hard is this going to be? And the reality was, once you bury that axe into people's heads and cut people in half, you're onto a winner already. It just feels so bloody good to carve people in half with all the different weapons and abilities that you get. And yeah, excellent little DLC. A gold for God of War Ragnarok Valhalla. Now the question is, have I convinced you enough to give it a tickle? That means no.
I don't know. I kind of felt like I was done with God of War when I finished it, and I don't really have a bug to go back to it yet. Mm. But it's not a permanent no. I'm not actually scared off by the rogue piece.
Interesting.
Like, that isn't really what... Even if it was bog standard DLC, I'd be like, I ain't doing that right now. So I don't think that is a particular concern. But yeah, anything with Mimir gets signed off. New Mimir content, I'm all for it. It's not a yes, I'm going to immediately jump into it or anything. But wouldn't be against doing it at some point, giving it a go in future.
Yeah, I'd say it's worth a go for people, and you have to get yourself over the initial hump. Once you're over that, if you're still not vibing with it, then walk away. You've lost nothing to a certain extent other than a couple of hours. But I suspect most people will get into the swing of things and then be determined to finish it off. And, you know, there is, again, jubilation. This is not one of those games that we may have spoken about previously about the relief of getting over the line. This was jubilation of getting over the line. So it's a different kind of mentality there. But, yeah, interesting to see them do this. But nonetheless... it's there for people who've got the core game, providing you haven't traded it if you were a physical person. But Logan and I, digital scumbag, it's always going to be there should we ever decide to go back to it. And who knows, Logan might return with a voice note in future about it if I rattle his cage enough. But there we go. God of War Ragnarok Valhalla earns itself a gold to go alongside its platinum award for the base game God of War Ragnarok. We're going to close down this episode of Idle Game Chat. And again, we'll see you on the next edition. But nothing more for us to say other than thanks for your time and ta-da.
This was a DIMP Digital production.